Family gatherings are always a pleasure, and today we have the added pleasure of welcoming all those who have, or very many of those who have been associated with this Gospel Hall in Miskin Street over a large number of years. We can't, of course, welcome those for the full time, which is 100 years, but there are those here today who would be, say, 0.7 of that time, some of them 0.5, and indeed sometimes a quarter, and we have some who are quite new members. But it is really with pleasure that we welcome each other to this gathering today. And we're going to open the service today with number 11 in Sankey's books. Number 11. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing his power and his love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Hymn number 11. Jim Savage to lead us in prayer.
Shall we just ask the Lord's blessing on our coming together this afternoon? Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this happy occasion that has brought us together here in this Gospel Hall this afternoon. So many, our Father, can look back over many, many years of the witness and testimony of Thy people in this place. And we do thank Thee, our Father, this afternoon for the many friends and visitors that have been able to come along and join in with us on this occasion when we look back to 100 years of witness and testimony for Thyself in this place of Tawong. We pray that every visitor this afternoon might be richly blessed and refreshed and encouraged as the Word of God is read and as things are said and things are mentioned which will take memories back far into the past. And we ask Thee too, Father, that Thy people this afternoon might enjoy a very happy time of rich fellowship together in fellowship one with another later on in the tea interval, perhaps many seeing another for a long time. And we ask Thee, our God and Father, then, that Thou grant us this afternoon Thy blessing. We would think too of Thy servants that have come among us and who will in Thy will later open Thy word to us. And we pray that Thou richly bless them. And we ask that each and every one here today may receive something from Thyself that will help us and encourage us in our testimony for Thee. And finally, our Father, as we look back, we know that the testimony here in Tawong 100 years ago began in the real knowledge and appreciation of Thy promise that where two or three are gathered together unto My name, there am I in the midst of them. And our Father, we thank Thee for the manifestation of Thy presence with Thy people here in the testimony. And even today and in the future, as we wait for Thy coming, we pray that we each one may be truly conscious of that promise that our blessed Lord himself is in the midst. We ask Thee then that all that is done and said this afternoon and this evening and throughout this weekend may indeed be to Thy glory, may exalt our blessed Lord, and we ask these things as we give Thee our thanks in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.
We look back on 100 years and we look forward, of course, to eternity. Could we sing and join in singing hymn number 1, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven, to his feet thy tributes bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like thee his praise shall sing. Praise him, praise him, praise the everlasting King. Hymn number 1.
Continue to praise God by reading from the scriptures. We have 2 passages to read. Firstly, Psalm 34. Psalm 34, and reading from verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good. Psalm 145. Psalm 145, again reading from verse 1. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name for ever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of thy glorious, of the glorious honour, of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious, and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry, and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. And as God has blessed the reading of his word in the past century, we ask that he shall bless it to us this evening.
We now join in singing hymn number 877. 877, Standing on the Promises of Christ My King. Through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory to the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Hymn number 877. Assembly for quite a large part of the 100 years that we're considering today, is now going to make a report as far as he can go on the events and the things that have happened and for which we can praise God. He will make a report and tell us a lot about the hall. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Walker. Well, I'll have to take notes. 100 years is a long way back. And I must say, on behalf of the Assembly, what a joy it is for us to see so many present with us today. It's really a joy to stand there at the door and to welcome you all back. Secondly, there's a visitor's book which we have. And those who haven't signed it, we'd like you to sign it before you leave. We trust you're all going to stay for tea. It'll be a better meal today than you'll get tomorrow. So we trust you'll all stay for tea. But we'd like every visitor to sign the visitor's book. We don't want the Assembly membership to sign it today. We've made provision for that for you. But we'd like everyone present to sign the book today. We have some apologies. Mr. and Mrs. Lance Foley. Lance rang today to say that he didn't think perhaps he'd be able to make it. So he offers his apologies and also sends the greetings of that new assembly there in the Caboolture district. Mr. and Mrs. John Stephan, They have grandchildren like most of us here, and there's a function today. And one special request that Mrs. Steffens asked was this, that I would especially pass on her memories to Miss Pitcher. So Hilda, I do that publicly on her behalf today. Mr. Barry Steffen, he of course is caught up with the same function as his parents, Mr. and Mrs. Barry Steffen. Mr. and Mrs. Colin Carroll. Colin has exactly the same problem. He has grandchildren and there's a party at Broadbeach today. So they send their apologies. I did have a letter of apology to read from our brother Eddie Loader. And you don't know the joy it was to see him walk in the door. So I won't need to read his apology. He's here. I have one that I will read, which comes from Scanlon Street, Oxford Park. Dear friends of Toowong, thank you for thinking of me and sending an invitation to your centenary gathering. Sorry to have to say we will be, God willing, on holiday in Tasmania on that date. I wish to send my greetings and to thank those who prayed for and helped me in my young days. I was saved in the old hall in Terrace Street, baptised in Miskin Street Hall, so Toowong has many memories for me. I thank the Lord for all the years that have passed since then and for his keeping power. I have three children, loving and serving the Lord, so the Lord has been very gracious to me. Lord bless you on this special day and still use you to bring souls to the Saviour. Yours in Christ, Hilda Clissold. Now to some of you that won't mean a thing. But when I say Hilda Cash, that makes all the difference. And it's our joy to have Winnie with us. Winnie Cash, Mrs. Leach, with us today. Winnie is over in Bethany Home, and we've had many, many, many a reminiscence over there of Turinga and Toowong. Names will be mentioned, will be mentioned today, of those who in the past. We'll also cover names of the families today. In other words, the names that we mention, we're not going to endeavour to link them today. You do that yourselves, please. And there are names that will not be mentioned, only because time will not permit. They're not forgotten, and we thank God for everyone and for the sweet memories that linger with us. I've been through this report, I've been through the books, I've rewritten it 6 times, endeavouring to incorporate everything, and I know I've fallen far short. And finally, I want to sincerely thank the Assembly for giving me this honour and privilege of bringing to you a little history of the Gospel Hall Assembly. And I've got a brother there in Christ and also a cousin in the flesh. I know he might just wrap me a little bit after I've finished, and that's Mr. George James. I want to thank George for his help that he has given me as we went through the records together. And as I've spent many hours browsing through the records, and as names come before us, it has been realised how far-reaching is the witness of Toowong. In many, many assemblies there are those who can trace their beginning back to Toowong. As families have moved and children married and moved to other areas, so the witness of this assembly has widened. and you just sit and contemplate as you think of the family relationships and ties, just how far this assembly has reached. Some of you weren't here when our dear brother, Mr. Walker, gave the welcome. And once again, to those who've come late, it's a very special welcome to you all. And we here at Toowong haven't changed. We've made a few alterations, if you may have noticed. As our brother Bernie Mason said, he was just trying to recollect as he walked into the hall. It's changed since Bernie was here. Only in size, he said, they'll never get them all in. But you see, it's so long since Burns been back. We've made alterations in the structural way. But basically, we're the same. And I'd like to just say this. As a little boy, I loved to go with my grandfather and my father to the Sunday evening prayer meeting and open air meeting. And I know now why grandfathers love grandchildren. Having that experience now in my age of what my grandfather had when I was just so high. And there is one thing I've never forgotten. Apart from the message, one thing that as a lad, as a little boy, it registered with me. And it was the announcement at the close of the meeting. And the meeting was usually held up here at the tram terminus, not even the bus terminus anymore. And the brother would step into the ring and give the invitation at the close of the meeting, and it went something like this. Dear friends, our meeting here has now come to a close. We extend to you an invitation to come with us to the Gospel Hall yonder in Miskin Street, where a servant of God will further proclaim God's way of salvation. Come, a warm welcome awaits you. Well, we trust you've received the warm welcome today. But then he would finish by saying this, seats are free, hymn books provided, and there's no collection. And I want to assure you, dear friends, today we haven't changed. The seats are still free. The hymn books are still provided, although we borrowed 53 from Bethany H. Christian's home, and there's no collection. Now, having put your conscience at rest, and your pockets at ease, maybe we can get to the history of the assembly. Now, our brother Dr. Lennox read two portions from God's Word, one from Psalm 34 and the other from Psalm 145. And the third verse of each of those psalms have been in our thoughts for many months. And those verses are the ones on the wall, on either side. Psalm 34, verse 3. Psalm 145, verse 3. For magnify the Lord with me. Or can we say, oh, magnify the Lord with us? And let us exalt his name together. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. And we've invited you here today to join with us as we seek to magnify the Lord, to exalt his name, and to render praise to our God. And from the depths of our being we say, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. It's all his doings, nothing of ourselves. It was God himself who raised up a witness to his name 100 years ago in 1882, and he has maintained it until this day. It pleased him in his grace to bring to us to himself and to use us in his service in witness here at Toowong Gospel Hall. It is a company of believers gathered to his name that we seek to maintain the witness according to the word of God as the foundation was laid in 1882 by those faithful men of God and maintained by those who followed over the years. Records are not available covering the early years of the Assembly. The earliest minute book we have dates from December 1914. So the first 30 years of history has been established by word of mouth. While we don't know who were members of the Assembly at its commencement, we do know two brethren who were of that number. And that's Mr. George Harper Jones and Mr. Richard Tucker Jones. And today, here with us are descendants of these two brethren. Second, third, and fourth generation. And two of the grandsons, as our brother Mr. Walker has already mentioned, are with us here today. One is Mr. George Jones, and the other is myself. Hockaday, far from Jones, but my mother was a Jones, so I'm linked with that family. And our brother George, of course, as we've said, is the grandson of Mr. George Jones. I'm the grandson of Mr. Richard Jones. And there are other grandchildren here. And so over the years, with these families' connections, one has been able to gather the information that the Assembly commenced in the Odd Fellows Hall in Church Street, now Jefferson Street, in 1882. And that hall is next to the BP service station. It was the Gaiety Theatre. It's now the BP service station. And the hall was taken over by the RSL after the Second War and renovated to its present condition. And there are other names that can be associated with the Assembly in those early days. Mr. Albert Melville. His grandson's here today. Better still, we have his son here. And it's a joy to have our brother, Mr. Tom Melville, with us in our gathering today. And many's been the chat over the past months as we've moved around Bethany, as we've chatted over the history of Toowong. Arthur Brett, who's a brother-in-law to the Jones brothers. Joseph Hoey is another name that comes to mind, and there are others. And so for 8 years the Assembly met in the Odd Fellows Hall in Jefferson Street, Toowong. In January 1890, and we can got this by written authority, in January 1890 the location was moved to Number 1 Terrace Street, which is just across the road, the first house on your right, to a hall owned by Mr. Page Knott. And I believe he also was with the gathering in Church Street. And we have with us today, well, I thought we would have had with us today, five generations from the Knott family, but not quite. But we may have before the afternoon's finished. I have here a book, which is the rent book, which covers the period from the 31st of January 1890 to the end of March 1920. It's signed by Mr. Page Knott. The rent for the hall was £1.08 per month. But the offerings were only about £2.05 per month. They weren't big. And so the Assembly, in a very small way, rented a hall there in Terrace Street. You can have a look at this book afterwards, if you like, to verify the facts. But it goes right through to 1890, to 1920. In April 1919, a move was made by the Brethren to purchase a block of land at 50 Miskin Street for the sum of £130, $260. The purchase was finalised in 1919. In March 1920, Mr. Page Knott sold the property to a Mr. Tear, who kindly permitted the Assembly to use the hall on a rental basis. Before I go any further, if I can find my little bit of paper, if I can't, we won't read it, I'll read it later. We have a list of names of the Assembly which would have dated around about 1912. And I'll find that little bit of paper and I'll read it for you. In April 1920, Brethren met to consider the erection of a new hall for the contract price of £618, with electric light, £640, another £22 to have the hall wire, in June 1920. And as we read the records covering the period of 1890 to 1820, we could only get that from the minutes of 1914 onwards. Other names of those who took the responsibility of the Assembly were brought to our notice. Mr. H. A. Pitcher, R. T. Jones Jr., our brother McNaughton, R. F. Knott, W. Braid, J. Ellens, H. G. Jones, J. Barclay. That might be a surprise to some, but that's confirmed. J. Roach, P. F. Swartz, W. J. Smith, H. W. Hockaday, H. McIntyre, and P. Edwards, just to mention a few. The tenancy of the Terrace Street Hall terminated on the 11th of December 1920, and the Assembly met in this hall on Sunday, the 12th of December 1920. And a special gathering was held on Saturday the 18th and Sunday the 19th of December, to which other assemblies were invited. And I'd like to read the minute that covers that gathering. And in reading the minute, I found the little bit of paper I was looking for before, which dates us to 1912. Let's read it together. I won't give the addresses. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Mr. Gibson, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, Mr. and Mrs. Hoey, Miss Bow. That brings back memories, doesn't it? Miss Martin, Mr. and Mrs. R.T. Jones, Victoria Crescent. That was the son of Richard Tucker Jones. Mr. and Mrs. H.G. Jones, Mr. and Mrs. Wall, Mr. Ringo, Mr. and Mrs. Arnott, Miss Eva Melville, Miss A. Melville, Miss E. Simmons, Miss P. Simmons, Mr. and Mrs. Edwards, Mr. and Mrs. Carroll, Mrs. Carroll, Miss A. Carroll, Mr. and Mrs. Pitcher, Miss Foster, Miss Wilkie, Mrs. Taylor, Mr. G. Garley, Mr. and Mrs. Simmons, Mr. and Mrs. Dangerfield, and it's good to see Bill here today, Mr. and Mrs. Knott, Miss Knott, Mr. J. E. Edwards, and that's the Edwards that lived at Turinga. How well we remember our brother Jack Edwards. Mr. and Mrs. Hockaday, that was father, of course, not me. Mrs. Locke, Mrs. Nickel, Miss Rose, Mr. Tate, Mrs. Jack Trix. It's good to have our daughter with us today, Winnie's here. Mr. and Mrs. Ellens, Mr. and Mrs. Bray, and we've got the Bray family representing. Mr. G.H. Jones, That brings the Joneses in. Miss A. Jones, Mrs. F. Pedler, Mr. R. T. Jones of Anley Street, Mr. and Mrs. G. H. Jones of Brookfield, Mrs. George Trix, Aunt Bessie, how well we know her, Mr. Adam, Mr. McLeod, Corinda, Mr. and Mrs. Schwartz, Katie Stanford, and last but not least, Miss H. Pitcher. Now, I hope I don't get into trouble for saying this, but you know, Miss Pitcher is the oldest member of the Assembly at Toowong at this present time. I'm sure you won't mind, Hilda, just mentioning that. Now the minute. At a meeting of the oversight of the Toowong Assembly held in the Gospel Hall, Miskin Street, on Wednesday the 8th of December, and the last meeting in the Terrace Street Hall was Wednesday the 3rd of November, present brethren G.H. Jones, R.T. Jones, P. Schwartz, H. Hockaday, J. Elms, P. Edward, W. Bray, H. Pitcher, H.G. Jones. After waiting upon God, the minutes of the previous meeting were read and confirmed on the motion of R.T. Jones, seconded by Brother P. Edward. Brother P. Schwartz moved the oversight endorsed the action taken by brethren inviting the assemblies in and around Brisbane to the official opening of the new hall on the 18th and 19th instant. Brother W. Bray seconded the motion. There was no business arising from the minutes of the previous meeting. The Treasurer's statement was then read and receipts and expenditure for the month of November 1920. The total receipts amounting to £6.16, to which sum was added the amount of 2 and 6 being balance carried forward from October, making a total in all of £6.18. That was in 1920. Accounts to the amount of £5.08 were passed for payment, and the balance of £1.10 and 6 was carried forward toward the expense of the Sunday School prize account. The matter of providing refreshments for the occasion of the opening of the new hall was discussed, and it was decided that sisters should meet together to discuss matters relating to this all-important service to the Lord. And they've done that just today. As several have expressed their willingness to help by contributing provisions, etc., Brethren H. Hockaday and J. Ellens and Brother Bray were appointed to work in conjunction with the sisters in the matter. And this next sentence gives us the link with the Odd Fellows Hall in 1882. Mr. R.T. Jones was requested to approach Mr. Strickland, and I've heard that name a few times, with reference to obtaining the loan of seats from the Odd Fellows Hall for the occasion. So they had that close link to be able to borrow things from that organisation down there. It was decided that Brother P. Schwartz should convey a letter to the General Oversight on Saturday night advising the various assemblies that the Believer's Hymn Book would be used for the opening meetings. For we've just gone a little from that. We've used the Sankeys. We wouldn't have had enough believers. And advising the members of the various assemblies to bring along their own books. And I might mention here that it was our desire to have a hymn sheet printed so that you'd take it with you as a little memento of the gathering today. But whether you understand it or not, copyright restrictions prohibited us from getting them printed. I have a dear brother who is a godly man in the assemblies who is a printer, and I said to him, David, will you print them for me? He said, no, it's as clear as that. So we haven't any hymn sheets, we've had to use the book. And that is the minute concerning the opening of this present hall in December 1920. In 1916, the Tawong Terrace Sunday School, and I'd like to spend a few minutes on that at the moment. And that's how it was known, and it was well attended. The only register available is 1912. That's the only register that's available that I can get back into the past. And there was 100 children, 101 to be exact, attending. And I thought it'd be nice if we just mentioned a few names in passing. The teachers, Miss Knott, Mr. J. Barclay, Miss Currell, Miss H. Rose, Miss A. Jones, Mr. J. Ellum, Mr. H. G. Jones, and Mr. A. Soden, and some of the scholars, E. B. Wall, E. Simmons, A. MacDonald, I don't think it's in relation to the MacDonald family that came with us later, S. Shaw, and L. Wilson, I. Bove, E. Melville, P. Simmons, A. Carroll, Eva Melville, A. Melville, R. Knott, and the Carroll family with Louis Brett. The infants class. 24 of them in the infants class. And I'm not going to read all those. Frank Simmons, Jack Morgan, Thelma Knott, Edna Knott, Cynthia Moxon, Paige Bapti. Now you see where Paige Bapti got his name. Ernest Brown and Arthur Brown. And then we get the first class boys. E. Currell, C. Hoey, Cliff Hoey, Robert Knott, that's R.D. Knott. That's Graham and Lloyd's father. W. Johnson, E. Lansbury, and my, that rang a bell. Now I know where Erica got her name. And Erica and Barbara are here with us today, and it's a joy to have them with us. The Carrolls again. T. McCrindle. Did everybody know that Tom McCrindle was a member of this Sunday school in 1912? W. McCrindle. Wally McCrindle. And young Tom from Bundamba told me not so long ago that his brother Walter, his uncle Walter, went out in the west and through the faithful, consistent contact of a sister in the Tawong Assembly, in writing and keeping the contact, he was one for the Lord. W. Hinton. We've got Thelma here today, Mrs. Mason. And R. Gaston. And then in the third class, boys, I've got a little fellow heading the top of the list, T. Melville. A. Simmons, A. Rose, J. McCrindle, John McCrindle. And then we get P. Edward, Fred Tate, G. Carroll, J. Johnson, A. Carroll, and R. T. Jones. I won't go any further. I could go on and on with the record. In 1916, the number was 147. 147 in the little gospel hall in Terrace Street. How well we remember. Not quite as far back as that, but nearly. In 1919, 140. And I was one of that number. And I have the cost of provision for a Sunday school picnic. And I thought this would be interesting to read. And I do think the fifth generation of the Knott family may be coming. I really do. I really do. I see a firing smoke of Ken there at the door. And I'd like to read the cost of the picnic. There's two here that I want to mention. I'll mention this one first. 1896. 110 children. And the cost of the picnic was £4, 1 shilling and threepence halfpenny. You know, we had some good old times. We got 4 boiled lollies and 3 conversations. And we enjoyed it. And I noticed that here. 1 tin of conversation lollies. 5 shillings. And I said, I don't know whether this lady's arrived yet. But I said to her on the phone the other day, do you remember the conversation lollies? And she said, oh, that brings back memories. You know what the girls used to do with them when we threw them? They used to eat them. No response. And I tried, and I just thought it would have been lovely if we could have had a couple of tins of conversation lollies here today. But I haven't seen them around for years. Maybe I'm not looking in the right place. But I thought of those conversation lollies, and what fun. Clean, innocent fun did we have with those conversation lollies. But there's the cost of the picnic. Then in 1894, they had a combined picnic. Provisions for Sunday school treat, Valley, Red Hill, United, and number of children were Red Hill 40, the Valley were 40, Toowong had 100. So that was 180 children, and the picnic cost them £5, 18 shillings and fourpence. Just in passing, I would mention that the number in the school in 1923 was 140, and in 1944, it was 96. Now I have here a photo. We'll put it on the table later. There's a smaller one of it there. And this is of a picnic held in Melville's paddock. That's where the bus depot now is. In May 1920. And it was the last picnic from the Terrace Street Gospel Hall. Have a look later, you who are within this bound, and have a look and see if you're there. I can see your father there, Lyndon. I know he's there, I can see him. There's a little fellow sitting up here who I know very well, and I know the little chap sitting next to him. So have a look later and see if your photo's in there. That will bring back a few memories, together with the conversation lollies and the buns that we used to have. This hall and furnishings was clear of debt in 1928. The total sum paid for was, I'm glad you're all sitting down, £981, 2 shillings and sevenpence. That's the hall and the furnishing. And looking through the minutes, there have been a few adjustments to the contract price, I can tell you. That's roughly $1,962 in present-day coinage. The hall was plastered outside, that's right round the building, to this wall here, in October 1936, and the extension at the back, that's through the doors, and the alteration to the platform. That's where some of you have seen the difference. That was carried out in 1951. If you remember, the platform was a little bit longer. The anterooms came to the end of that window and put them inside the anterooms. And the two checks that you see at the door at the back as you walked out were over the doors of the anterooms on either side of the platform. And I had a dear lady come. She'd been in England and she came back. She was one of the very first members of Silky Oaks Children's Home here at Toowong. And we had 30-odd children from that home in the Sunday school. And she came back to have a look. And she said, "What's the difference? There's a difference. Where are the texts gone?" And I said, "Turn around and have a look before you go out." And she remembered the auntie rooms with those two texts, which we still have and treasure, over the door. The new toilet box at the back, they were built in 1962. There has been some changes, and our number at present are not large. There's only 26 in fellowship here at Toowong. And as we said, children have grown up, they've married and moved to other suburbs. The Sunday school numbers likewise are not large, and parents today don't send their children to school. But we thank those who do have an interest in the spiritual needs of their children and send them along to Sunday school. They're all precious in the eyes of the Lord, so much so that the Lord died for them, and not only for them, but for us all. And it is a joy to meet those who have passed through the school, who, having heard the message of salvation, having trusted the Saviour and continued on in witness and service for Him. We met many of them who can say, "Thank God for the grounding we had as members in the Toowong Gospel Hall Sunday School." And we thank God for the fruit that has borne in the lives of so many. And we give thanks to our God for those who labored so faithfully down through the years, and for those who continue to labor, that the seed sown will be fruitful to the salvation of many and to the glory of God. There have been times of joy and blessing, times of sadness, times of adversity, times of trial, times of testing. But in everything, God has been over all, never leaving or forsaking His own. And again, we thank Him for men of His choice, men of God who have been guides and shepherds of the assembly down the years that are past, men who have stood fast by the word of God, men who have laid hold of God in prayer. And we say today, whose faith follow? To God and to God alone be the praise. The testimony still remains, and our prayer is that we will still be used of God to His glory and the salvation of precious souls in the days that lie ahead, should the Lord tarry. It has been said concerning David in Psalm 34, and I quote this, "He had miserably failed. He'd failed to act in faith. Yet the Lord had not failed him. He delivered him in His mercy. Therefore his soul was filled with praises of Jehovah. He would praise Him continually for His gracious help and loving kindness." And in the third verse of Psalm 145, David did not say, "We could not search into God's greatness," but he said, "It is unsearchable." He did not say, "We have not a right to enter into it," but we will never come to the place where we will exhaust the greatness of God. And as we began, so let us end. And we say again, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." The Lord is great and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. We'll have one or two other announcements to make later on. But I'd like to say now that the texts on the wall have been donated to the assembly in memory of this occasion, not of our own merit, but of the goodness of God.
We often sing, "I'll bless the hand that guided, I'll bless the heart that planned, enthroned where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land." From what we've heard today, it certainly is true. And it is true of those who are here with us, gathered together for this 100th anniversary. And we're going to sing of the one who made it possible for us in hymn number 896, "I Will Sing of My Redeemer." I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. Hymn number 896.
Thank you. likeness of God. And included in that brightness is not only the brightness of your power, but the brightness of your grace. And we would be encouraged to know that a work of God has commenced in the past, has been continued, has carried on, and has those ramifications so that in so many places the result of it abides today. And we ask that wherever we might be now, that there will be an experience of your hand upon us, in blessing itself, and in the extension of the work of the Lord. We ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen.
For loving God and Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast been pleased to bring us together on this memorable occasion. And we would say, what hath God brought? To God be the glory. Hitherto, the Lord hath helped us. We praise Thy name, our Father, for the evidences which have been revealed and brought before us today in the report concerning the establishment, the commencement and establishment and maintenance of Thy work in this area. We bless Thee, our Father, for faithful men. We thank Thee for the Holy Scriptures, being able to make wise unto salvation, and able to build up and give an inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. This afternoon we thank Thee, our God and Father, that many of us can look back to early days and receive Thy good hand of blessing, which has continued even until this present time. And we pray Thee that Thou bless those of Thy servants who make up the number of the assembly here in Toulon in this present day,